Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So use whatever you have. Do not think too much about, do not punish yourself. When you do something wrong, you're learning from it. You're just learning, and the next day you know what you do. So do not punish yourself for that.
That's right. You're always learning. And you're always learning from mistakes. That was a small clip from today's episode with Masi Dawari, who is an architect from Iran and also a co-founder of a startup called InnoBrain. This is going to be a very inspiring episode because Masi shares his journey in architecture, studying in University of Tehran as well as the University of Isfahan in Iran, moving to Sweden, working with his brother on a startup called InnoBrain, which is a neurotech company offering innovative brain-computer interface applications. So how cool is that for an architect to get into the neuroscience space and also into the startup world? There's a lot of good stuff in this episode. Masi is going to be sharing his challenges, his struggles, and we're going to be discussing about startups in detail, which is quite fascinating to say the least. And for me personally, this episode was quite inspiring by what Masi had to share. For more on the episode, like podcast links, show notes, and more, head to arkyan.com/40. There's also some exciting stuff which I do share towards the end of the episode, so please do stick around. With that said, let's head to the episode with Masi Dawari. Let's go.
You're about to enter the Arkyan Podcast. Arkyan Podcast. India's first and very own architecture podcast, where you'll hear the insights, experiences, and journeys from India's leading architects. No matter what your skill level is, together we'll build on our knowledge and share architecture's greatest stories ever told. Now, here's your host, Manish Paul Simon.
All right. So before we jump to the various tangents in this episode, give us a brief on how you got into architecture and what is it like studying in architecture school?
Well, how I got into architecture, it's really interesting thing that I didn't have any clue what is architecture at first before I started my bachelor about 8 years ago. And the fact is that my cousin was a student of architecture, and when I wanted to go to university, I was really skeptical to choose something, this field of study. And she just took me there in the university, and when I was in the studios and I was watching different models, 3D models, or the projects that the students have done.
Nice.
I was really fascinated that, wow, it is interesting. And then I chose architecture, and then I fell in love with architecture, actually.
So they had like parametric models back then itself?
Parametric? No, it was more like artistic models and conceptual models. And because I'm also have a really artistic part in myself, and sometimes I do some sort of sculptures and some very tiny stuff, and those were actually conceptual models, and I was really fascinated. Wow, it is not boring. I mean, the architecture, and it is something. It is an interesting and adventuristic major. So yes, then I went to architecture.
All right, and did you feel the same when you joined? You joined Art University of Isfahan, right?
Well, yes, it was really good, actually, but still I can say that the first year or two, the first 1 or 2 year, and it was much more interesting because after that it became like more of engineering, which I really like that. Mm. But the educational system, it's I wasn't really agree with that, but at all I can say that I was really happy to be there because we had also a good community there with my classmates, and we used to go around the country to see different cities, old traditional cities, and to attending to different workshops, and we learned a lot. So I can say at all that I really loved the era that I was in Art University of Isfahan.
Nice. And this was like a four-year course, right?
You can finish in 4 years, but I finished in 5 years because the fifth year I was working and I was also working on my thesis. So, yes, that is why for me, it was 5 years.
All right. And then, why did you decide to take up masters in architecture? Is it like a general norm where everyone does masters in Iran?
Well, in Iran, yes, it is a good thing that you have a high degree, which I don't really agree upon that. Mm-hmm. On that. And it's really good that you have a master degree and a PhD and whatever. But the fact that I went to the master was that I really wanted to go to the capital, because at that time I was living in a city. It was also one of the biggest city in Iran. So I did my bachelor in Art University of Isfahan, and then I wanted to go to the best university of the country, which was in the capital, which is Tehran. So I could get in, and I was also in my fifth year. I was working on my thesis. I was a little bit working and also studying for the master exam, because we have exam. We have exam for going to the master degree. So I could get in. Yes, I could get in to one of the best universities. And yes, that was my first master degree, actually in architecture.
Awesome. And then you prolonged your academic career for even further, right?
Yes, because I had also this ambition that I really wanted to see how is it working in other country as a student of architecture, how they teach students of architecture, because I was also really, really interested to YouTube. So I was always watching different videos from student of architecture around the world. So mm-hmm. I was like, I really want to go there and see. So the next level after going to the capital and the best university of my country was to going abroad and see the best university outside of my country. Yeah.
All right. And this led you to the path to Sweden. And now you're doing something awesome, which is you're part of InnoBrain. And you also joined another university as a startup program, right? So briefly, could you tell us about that?
Yeah, in brief, I can tell you that my first master degree, my thesis was in an area that it was this start idea for the first startup program that we went through, which was in KTH University in Stockholm, Sweden. Hmm. Sweden, which was my brother was there, was studying as a PhD. So I was in Iran, so I had a good idea for my thesis, first master degree thesis. So we started a company there, and I was in Iran, and now it's been about 9 months that I came for my second master degree here in Sweden. I'm in another city of Sweden, and I came to their startup program in my university, which is Lund University. Mm. And I started another idea, which is more related to design and architecture.
You're part of Lund University, and you're also doing this the startup. So what were you exactly researching or studying in Lund University?
Uh-huh. So because my first master degree was more into advanced architecture and designing, and the specialty was in residential design, the first master degree. So for the second master degree, I was really interested into the more of the technology of architecture and what we know it as a parametric architecture or digital architecture or something like that. So I chose a new specialty, which is spatial experiment, which you work a lot with the rhino and grasshopper and mimicking the nature and natural patterns, and then using a lot of 3D printing and CNC milling and all this stuff. So the second master's degree is about the more of the technology of architecture and the digital architecture. And well, the subject that I came up with for a startup program, to come to the startup program, was not actually exactly related to the digital architecture. And it is a little bit different, actually.
Okay, cool. All right, so could you briefly tell us about how you made this transition into neuroscience as an architect? I don't know how that happens, but probably since your brother is also a founder, but how difficult or how different was the transition?
Well, it is really difficult because when you are studying architecture, it is more about the designing and engineering and all this stuff. But when it comes to go to another field of area and field of study and combine that to your knowledge, current knowledge, it is not easy. So I came up with the idea with the help of my teacher back then in my first master degree in Iran. We came up with the idea that we can combine architecture with neuroscience, which neuroscience is the science of brain, actually, in brief. So it's a science that is studying the brain and everything that happens in your brain. So and it is actually that there are people and there are some academies that they are working on the neuroscience and architecture, which they call it neuroarchitecture, and mostly in California, US. And so I had to study about the neuroscience to see what is it. So I was actually studying some materials from the psychiatrist. I had some materials from a psychiatrist. I went to some psychiatrists and the people who are working with something related to the brain, and they gave me some materials and documents, and I read them so that I can have just the structure about neuroscience, understand what is it, and then I tried to combine it with my study.
All right. And how much of overlap is there between architecture and neuroscience? I don't think there is much, but maybe from your perspective.
Well, the fact is that nowadays, one of the best things to do to pursuing your education, that I believe, is that you can go through multidisciplinary areas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was trying to make a multidisciplinary project, and because right now we had a lot of progress in each field of a study, and now I believe that maybe it is time to make them more multidisciplinary. And when you see a very very successful companies and businesses, sometimes they are actually doing a multidisciplinary business. So they're using another knowledge and combining to another knowledge, and they are producing a new product. So yes, that was it.
Yeah, I think even like if you want to grow these days, you need to venture out into different other fields as well, right?
Yes. And for me, that I came up with the idea just to go through the neuroarchitecture. Before coming up with this idea, I was about to working on ergonomic and architecture, which ergonomic was more like a subject in industrial design, which I was also interested. So I wanted to combine that ergonomics into interior design and make something out of it. But then we changed it to neuroscience because it was much more, it was more progressive and something more futuristic, and I really liked to do that. So then we changed it to the neuroscience and architecture. Yeah.
All right. And what are the different products that InnoBrain produces that helps in this field?
So let me give you a brief about InnoBrain and what we are doing in InnoBrain.
Sure.
So my master thesis was neuroarchitecture and neuroscience. So I was about to show people different kind of design that I have designed and modeled and rendered and whatever. And they were watching my design, different kind of design, while I am putting a device on their head to record their brain signal.
Oh, wow.
So after they are watching and I'm recording their signal without saying anything, I can understand after analyzing the signals, I could understand that how they're feeling, how much is their engagement and their excitement about those designs. And then I would give them a questionnaire, and they will give me the answers just orally. And then I compare the signal records to the questionnaires to find out if they were true or not. And they were mostly right. They were correct mostly. So we started the InnoBrain with the idea that we can evaluate different products by giving those products to people, to customer, and then capture their brain signal, and then analyze their brain signal to understand how they feel. And it is mostly effective and good when you want to do those experiments on kind of those kind of customers that they cannot express their feelings, just like autistic people or child that they cannot maybe express really, you know, really easily about their feelings, or old people, or the people who cannot talk or express any kind. So this was the idea that we started the InnoBrain with. So at first we were in different industries. So we were making experiments on pilot studies, for example, in car industry. So we wanted to understand which car, for example, one car from Toyota and one car from Peugeot. We were just putting someone as a driver and then put the device on the that person's head to understand how they feel when they're driving with these two cars. Or we did another pilot study with the food industry. So we had two brand of juice, orange juice. We were giving them to people to drink them, and then we were just capturing their signal to understand how they feel and something like that. But right now we just narrow it down to the medical industry and to the medical devices, because it is much more important right now, and it can be really efficient and good.
Wow, sounds super interesting. I think this would be beneficial to a lot of architects, and like to find out the psyche of a user when he's standing in a space with maybe different colors or a different scale, right?
Exactly. For my project, my master thesis, I was working only on the form and the shape. And so I had to eliminate every color, and I had to make it just one color, one or two color. And I was mostly working on the rectangular shape, rectangular design, and in compare to the curve design. So I just wanted to see how people feel through these kind of designs. Yeah.
So what did you find out? Do people prefer the concrete boxes or more fluidic Sahadi type designs?
Well, they were different. And it's really interesting. Some of them they are so logical. They were so logical in their own life, and the artistic part of their personality was less. They liked more rectangular designs, so they liked these rigidness, you know. And the others that they had some more artistic personality in them and less of logic, they were more into the curve design, and they really liked those kind of design because they felt good with those kind of design. So yeah, it was really interesting, the results.
All right. And is InnoBrain also venturing into space, like architectural designs, or how those impact our lives?
Well, in fact, we started with all different industries, from the car industry, architecture, cosmetics, even food industry, and all the different industries, just to test which one has best possibility and opportunity for us. And we also had some meetings with some owners, some architectural firm owners, and they were interested, actually. But the industry is not that much, the demand is not that much, so we couldn't just put our target on the architecture. So we had to turn it to an industry that has more demand on it, which right now is medical industry. But there were some interest also in architecture, but we couldn't just fulfill that at that moment. Maybe when we get bigger, we can have some other offices, for example, an architectural section, and then another car industry section or other sections. But at this moment, we are focusing on medical industry.
All right. And what are the plans for InnoBrain in the coming few years?
Well, the plan is that, we are actually working on our product, because what we want to offer at this moment, we are offering only a service. So we are doing the whole job. So we are going to their company. They bring bring us some, for example, 30 subject, that's 30 person. So we usually do those experiments on those persons. So we will give the product of that company to those person, and they work with that product, and then we record everything, and then we give them a result as a report and a final report. But we are working on a package to sell everything to the companies. For example, we're working on a platform that you can yourself, you can have that package, which has our platform as well, and also the devices that you can use for capturing the brain signal. So you yourself can capture your subject's brain signal.
Nice.
Put those brain signal on this platform that we are working on it. You can put those data's on the platform, and the platform will give you the results, just like some bar chart or linear charts and or different visualization features, and you can choose whatever you want and the way you want to see it. You can categorize them, those data's. You can see result of 10%, 1%, or the whole result, and all this stuff. But we are really working hard on the platform. So the future step for us is to releasing that package, that whole package, and selling that package to our customers.
Sounds awesome. So we don't really need those technicalities required to conduct the research, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And you can do the whole process by yourself. So yeah, and we will only help you through the process to teach you how to do it, and if there would be any problem, we can fix it for you and all this stuff. Yeah.
All right. And you currently play the role of business development and also R&D there, right?
Right now, actually, I am the design lead in a brain. So in my team, I have, for example, because at first, when you start a company as a startup, it's really important. I think that would bring some value for your audience.
Yeah.
To know that when you want to start something as an idea, as a startup, actually at first, everything, you have to do everything by yourself. So at first, we were only two of us. I mean, me and my brother. So I was doing everything related to design, and he was doing everything related to the business stuff. So at every time that we wanted to have a pitch, or we wanted to have a meeting and everything, I had to just prepare everything related to the graphical design or making PowerPoints. Even the logo of the company is the logo that I designed the first.
Oh,
so
nice.
I designed about, I don't know, 20, 30 logo, and we changed it a lot, and this is the outcome. Actually, this is the final one. So even the logo, and then the design, all the designs that we had in our first website, actually. But this website, we are using some graphics. I'm leading a graphics that I have in my team. I'm giving the hints to the graphics to design it for me, and also I have someone else that she is really good with content making in a way, a way of written content like articles and stuff like that. So I'm managing this part, which is more about the branding, marketing, and all this stuff in a brain
wow.
company. Yes, and now we are actually four co-founder, which we, because at first we started by two, and then we started to find some other people in other related industries like neuroscience. So we have a neuroscientist as well as one of our co-founders. Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, I think like a lot of architects should get into the startup space, because we build a sense of good design right from the get-go, right? When we join architecture school. So we know what we want to do, and even if we're starting on our own.
Yeah.
All right. Masi, what advice would you give to someone who's in architecture but wants to maybe start off on their own, or wants to get into the startup space?
They're in architecture and they want to go through the startup world,
yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
So the advice. All of us has a lot of ideas, and mostly when you are in architecture, you might be more creative than other people. That's what I believe. So you might have a lot of ideas, but remember that when you want to work on an idea that you have, it's really important that you have the most advantage of that idea. So when you come up with an idea, you have to be able to do the biggest part of it. For example, if I come up with an idea that it is about spaceships or whatever, I have no idea how to do that. I have no electronic, mechanical, or any knowledge about the space or whatever. So that's not going to be a good idea for me, unless you have the capability to gather good people around you and manage them, because that's also another ability that you can fulfill all the other aspects, because you can manage other people, bring them together and help them to work them together. So you're going to be a good CEO, you're going to be a good manager. You know what I mean? So that's the biggest advice, one of the biggest advice that I can give them. And also the other part is that really, really have self-awareness, really understand what is it that makes you happy. If you want to start something as a startup, it means that you want to start a company in the future. And it means that you want to live with that company for a long time. So you need to be passionate about the subject that you want to work with as a startup company. Yes.
And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of ups and downs as well, right?
Yes, of course. Good to mention. There are a lot of ups and downs. So when we started the first, it was 2 years ago, which we started the first company. So it was really hard, because at first you had a good idea, but you need more. For example, you need funding to just work on it more. You need put more people on your team. So you have to find them. You have to find some people that you can put the trust on them, so they can act as best as they can. And so there are a lot of ups and downs, but it is really, really, it's a really good process. It's a really informative process for everyone that wants to go through this path. And also people should be aware that if they have this entrepreneurial some sort of entrepreneurial DNA in them, you know, it's because sometimes people just like to make something, just like a company or stuff like that, but it's not that easy. It is nice from outside that, wow, this guy has a company and that was a startup company, whatever, but it's not easy at all. So for example, for our first company, my brother was much better than me in managing a lot of stuff. So he is the CEO now, because we started together. I could be CEO, but it wasn't a good idea, because I wasn't good in that. I wasn't good in managing like him. So I went through a place that I could manage better, and he went through a place that he could manage better, because we had self-awareness. So that's something that is really important for people to have in mind, and also the ups and downs, which are a lot during the way. Yes, of course.
And you guys, how challenging was it for you coming from Iran and then starting up shop in Sweden, and also networking in Sweden so that you guys get the right people and get the move or company going?
So, good question. So my brother was out of the country, and since he went through his master degree, which is about, I don't know, maybe more than 10 years or 12 or 15 years ago. Okay. At first, he went to Germany because he studied mechanical engineering. So he went to Germany because he loved the car industry. And so he went to Germany for the master degree, and then went to Sweden for the PhD. And for me, I was in Iran when he was in Sweden, and we started the InnoBrain startup company. So it is actually challenging when you see the whole process. It is a long, long way to this point, because he has been outside of country more than 15 or 12 years, 12 years, and he's been in that environment. So I was in this environment, but then I came to Sweden. So it was a new culture, it was a new society, and some stuff are different. But the only thing that is common all over the world is networking. Wherever you are living, networking is one of the most biggest advantage that you need to have. And it is not something that people have it as a DNA or something like their genes. No, it is something that you can gain as a skill, and you can learn more and more. Because it might be really weird, but I was like these kind of kids that their father should just you know push them to say hello to other people. Or, I was really embarrassed all the time. I was really shy. So even when I see... When I see my my history and the background that I have in my childhood, I was like, wow, I was really a calm child. I was always playing for myself and all. I had some friends, not a lot, but then it became different, much more different than it was in the past, because I had a friend. And that friend, he was really, it was exactly on the opposite side of me. And I was always embarrassed when I was with him, because he always wanted to talk with everyone, make networking just naturally, he was like that. And I wasn't. And then I learned, actually. Then I learned that, no, it can be good, because he's doing everything while he doesn't have that kind of knowledge, that much of knowledge, but he has networking. So you don't need to know everything by yourself. You need to make network and ask other people. So it can be a really helpful process for people who wants to do everything. I really mean it. Even if you want to find a job, and it is not easy nowadays, you know that there are some problems, the demands are might be lower, for example, in architecture firms, and it might be hard. But even if you want to find a work, networking is a good thing. You have to just go and talk. If you like, we can talk also about that, because when I came here, I had some also financial problems, because not easy to come from a country like Iran, because I don't know about India, but then the change rate of the money, a currency between Iran and the krona, Swedish krona. Yeah, it's very, very high. And I had to pay a lot of money for the living and a part of my study. So it was really hard, and I made some solutions for that. And it's really interesting. If you were interested, we can also talk about that. So for example, when I came here, it was really hard because everything was really expensive, because I was changing in my mind to my own currency, which was Tuman in Iran. And it was really, so everything which I wanted to buy, even the simplest food or fruit or everything, it was really pricey. But the fact is that I was really trying to make a pattern of a solution. So I had to walk all around the city, ask different people, my classmates, some friend, Iranian friends, and just search about the cheapest places in Lund. And then I could find a pattern for myself that if I buy these stuff there, that would be cheaper, and that stuff another place, that would be cheaper, so I did that, for example. And even when I wanted to go to barber, for a haircut, I have to pay the money that is 10 times more than the money that I was paying in my country. And the price that I'm talking, and the price that I'm talking is a student price here, which is still 10 times more. And it's really weird. And that you might say that I don't want low, so let it grow, let my hair grow as much as they want. I don't want to cut them. You know what I mean? But so after two times that I went there and I paid the money, I was like, okay, I don't want to pay. So what can I do? I always ask myself a question like this. So then I came up with the idea that, so let's offer this barber guy something instead of having a haircut, having a free haircut. So I just get myself together, and I was really trying to be brave. So I went in, I told the guy that I can do something for you. What is it? What is it that I can do for you instead of having a free haircut? People might think that it is really embarrassing, but it is not, actually. It is the way that you can start a company, actually. It is the way that you can do the networking. So the guy was skeptical, and I offered her a free video, because he was interested into these Instagram videos or Facebook videos, one-minute videos that people make out of themselves. They work. So I knew how to do that also a little bit. So I offered him a free video. I actually filmed one of his customer while he was doing the haircut.
Awesome. Cut,
and then made a video. And after a week, I gave that to the barber guy. And he was really, he was really fascinated by that. He was like, wow, this is really good. So let's
got a deal. Free haircut.
And we made a deal. And yes, I got free haircuts. And every time I just record film with my cell phone And then I found an application that you can edit your film inside your phone. So I'm doing everything by my phone. I'm putting some effects and music on that movie, and then give it to send it to the guy, and he's doing a free haircut. And actually, after and it can be really. I think it can be inspiring for people that think that they have financial problem. So how can I start a startup company when I cannot even buy something, you know, for myself, or I can't afford anything?
Yeah.
And you know what is it? What is interesting? Well, the interesting part is that after that, I thought that so when I'm doing this and for him, and he's giving me a free haircut, why not I give him more and I charge him for that? And then I told the guy that, what do you think that I give you more than one movie? And so, for example, three or four posters, like taking pictures of you and make posters, beautiful posters, and also two more movies to you, and you give me, for example, 300 krona with one free haircut. And he accepted that.
Nice.
So the last month I did this, and I'm about to go there and take my money and also a free haircut. So you see, it is all one process, but it starts with one networking, you know. You have to ask. People are afraid to ask, and that is really a poison for your idea if you want to start something. Or if you want to even find a job and you are afraid to ask people that if they want you or not, or go there to the offices, give them your portfolios and CVs. That's exactly something that I did because I was really afraid, and I didn't have a good job back then in Iran. So I was working freelance, and freelancing, you know, it's really hard when you work freelance. You have to find projects yourself, and it's really making networking. So one day I was passing by of one of the famous, not bad, architectural offices in my country, in my home city, hometown. So I was just walking by, and I thought that why not? I go there, ring the bell, say hi, and just go there and talk to them. And I just did it. It was really hard for me.
Oh,
I
awesome.
Went there. I rang the bell. And there was a woman. She said, "So, hello, what do you want?" And I said, "I just want to talk with the owner was one of the architects. I want to talk with Mr. something." And then she said, "Okay, come in." And that was really weird that they let me in. I didn't have any appointment or whatever.
Okay.
So I went there. The owner was there. We sat there. We talked. And he said, "You can send your, yes, we are really interested. If you've been in this, you've been studying, you have studied in this university, that university, you have been in this kind of project, that kind of project. This is before I come out, I mean, pursue it in Sweden." Because when I finished my first master, I came back to my hometown and I was looking for a job. And I did this. And it was also interesting. I couldn't get the job because after that, they were really busy to see even my portfolio, and they didn't see that, and they didn't contact me even after several try that I did.
But still, the experience was...
The whole fact is... Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, what I want to say is the fact is that you have to ask. You have to ask and do not think that can be embarrassing, because people think if they hear no, they hear a negative thoughts of other people about themselves, they get embarrassed, which is not right, you know, because we are putting too much attention to other people's opinion about ourselves. And when you are about to be 90-year-old and you're dying, you're going to regret that why you didn't ask that guy about that job, why you didn't ask that girl about I don't know, about your future, that you want to have someone in your life or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Awesome, Masi. I think that is very inspiring. Yeah. A lot of fire in you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I hope your audience really, really hear the gist of what I'm saying, you know, which is just to be you and try to do whatever you like. And along the way, just ask other people. If you don't know anything, don't think that it is a cool thing not to show your weakness.
Yeah.
So when you have a weakness, you have to use it. For example, for me, I have a big weakness. When I go somewhere, which is in meeting, for example, one of the most important things is to remember people's name in that meeting when you meet them for the first time. I know that it is important, but I cannot do that. That's my weakness. And I have read a lot of books, and all of them were saying, so do this, do that, repeat it with yourself, and all this stuff. And I wasn't like, I couldn't do that. So I'm taking that weakness as an advantage or as a fun thing for myself. And I express that whenever I go somewhere, I don't remember their name. And then I say, oh, sorry, that's what happens all the time to me. I don't remember people's names, but no offense. And then I make a joke about it, and then I keep going, and no one feel embarrassed, and I don't feel embarrassed about it. And that is my weakness, but I'm taking it and making it like an opportunity.
And on a lighter note, you said the importance of asking, right? So do you even go out and ask girls for dates?
So as long as I have, I'm married.
Okay.
Married. So I don't do that.
Okay.
But I remember that I was really shy back then. But while I was really social, when I was in my bachelor, everyone, 99% of people, they really liked me because I was a social guy. I was just because I always wanted to help people. I had this in me that I was always trying to talk to people to help them or do something for them. That was why they really liked me. So it was really hard to reach to someone that you really love, because it happens for you when you are studying. You really love someone, one of your classmates, and that was the same for me. I loved some of them, and was that I really wanted to approach. I couldn't because I was in a position that I wasn't still like this that I am right now, because it's back then, it was 8 years ago, and I was like still a little bit shy inside of me, so I couldn't express my feelings to them. And but hopefully I could find the best one, actually not my classmate, but now I'm married and I'm really happy with that. But I'm using that skill to asking people without fear, to telling what you feel and how you feel. Even right now, when I feel about, it doesn't matter if it's a girl or it's a boy, when I feel that, for example, they're good looking or they're pretty or they're really talented in something, I tell them. I tell them. I go there and, oh, that's a nice bag you have. It's really, I'm really interested in that. So yeah, good luck with that. Something like that. So people have, with that thing that you're doing, people will have good, will get a good impact from you. And it is really helpful because I can see that. That is also another skill for networking. Because I've seen that I made a good opinion for someone. And another day, I saw that exact person and I was doing something, and he or she came to help me because they had a good idea. They had a good impact from me. So whatever you're doing in your life, do not think that, is it something that can be back to me? Do not expect things to be back to you. Just do good things, the right thing, and it will coming back to you someday or one day or in, I don't know. It will, you know?
All right. Awesome, Masi. I think that was some really awesome advice. I think our listeners will definitely benefit from all that, what you said. Before I let you go, we'll just quickly jump to the quick fire round and we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
All right. Which book has inspired you the most?
A good question. I read only, I think, four or five books in my whole life. I mean, the books, not the educational book that you have to just read for the exam, no. But the other book, four or five, mostly about the personality, how to make a personality, how to make this, how to make a good talk, or whatever, which they were all the same. And at a point, they were really boring.
Okay.
So after that, because they were just giving you more structure. You have to do this to do that. You have to do this to happen this, that. And I was really frustrated by that. So I changed my taste to other book, which was some sort of success stories book. For example, I changed the way of reading books. So I don't like read them. I love to listen to them. So that's why I listen to a lot of audiobooks and the podcast a lot. And I'm learning a lot. So I changed my taste from finding books that can give you the structure, how to be what you have to be, to the books that is about the people's or success stories or the life story of successful people. For example, I listened to two books about Charlie Chaplin, and I was really fascinated by the Charlie Chaplin, that he was an uneducated guy.
Mm.
And he made this huge impact on the world, even this far, right now.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating. And he was uneducated. And it's really interesting. And also some other people, Muhammad Ali Clay, I've seen some documentary. I've heard some things about him, a lot of things about him. And for example, let's say, what else?
Steve Jobs.
There's another person, Steve Jobs, yes, I've seen the movie and also some documentary, and I was also fascinated by the guy. But we don't have time to talk about them. But each one of them has some sort of fascinating features, while they have some weaknesses that was sometimes even hurting other people around them.
Mm, yeah,
so
exactly.
We don't have time for that. But people can go and listen and watch those movies or listen to their books, because they exist. And also one person that I really admire among all of this, and he is alive still, he's a contemporary, and he's Gary Vaynerchuk, which he calls himself Gary V as his brand, and he is another uneducated. He has some really some school or 5 year, I don't know, six.
Yeah.
Sierra school in the childhood, and after that won't go to college, and fascinating life story into business, in the business. People can follow this guy and learn a lot, because I learned a lot and I'm still learning. So yeah, these are the guys that I have done.
Yeah, I can definitely see a lot of Gary Vee influence on you.
Yeah, because I think you know him, yeah?
Yeah. But he keeps cursing all the time, right?
Yeah, that's good. Well, cursing, yes, that's something that it's really interesting. Once someone asked him, why are you cursing so much?
Hmm.
And then he said, that's the way I am. I know myself. That's the way it comes out of my mouth and my brain.
Hmm.
And I cannot do anything about it. I just want to say something in a way that I want to say it. And it's really interesting that it gave me the idea that I don't need to be like anyone else or like him or any other these success stories or successful people, because people try to mimic exactly like them. I can get inspired to know who I am, how I want to talk, and talk like that or think like that, like exactly the way that I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Be true to yourself and be honest.
Yes, of course.
All right. What's been your favorite movies that you watched?
Movies. So, because I'm a really big fan of watching movies, and that is the fact that I have this English skill, because I've been watching movies from my childhood when I was 10, and there was these VHS movies, so you had to rent it from the shop and all this. But after a while, which is about the past 10 years, I was watching a lot of different best movies, and right now I only go through this IMDb website,
top 250,
and yes, top 250, and I started from the best one, which is the one of the best ones,
is
The Godfather. It's really inspiring. It's really, yeah. And I'm just coming down and watching all of them, and I'm a really big fan. So I really cannot tell you what kind of movie, but I just can suggest to your audience that do not put time to watch, unuseful and some unuseful movies, because everything you see and you read and you do in your lifetime is something that is storing into your back of to your brain, and you're using them unintentionally at one point of your life, and you are not aware of that even. So try to see good movies, try to see the movies that there are good things about them, there are good articles and good opinions about them. For example, that is why I'm working on the IMDb, and just see what is on IMDb website to see. And I also see I read a little bit about the movies and then I see them. Because okay. 10 years ago, I was like just seeing everything because I was really interested into movies. So I was, and then I understand that no, some of them are really, sorry but saying that, but it's really rubbish, you know? So they are really, the point is, it's really meaningless to see. And then I feel bad about myself that I put a time on watching those movies. And now I can tell you, the fact that I have good ideas about sometimes making some videos or movies or clips or even do something for myself for my own job is that I was watching a lot of good movies and I was listening to a lot of good books or podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're helping me now in my career and also life.
Yeah, and personally, I'm a big fan of Iranian movies. Like, you guys make some really good movies.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we have, of course, we have a lot of bad movies. And of course, there are a lot of, we have a lot of directors and they are really doing good. And I'm really, I really admire them. And I see their movies. It's really meaningful and useful to watch some of them. Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. All right. Which city would you consider your favorite?
In the whole world, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, which city? That's a really tricky question because I have a wide variety of tastes. So I love to see everywhere, actually. And I just cannot tell you which one because each city has its own spirit. For example, my hometown has its own spirit, which I love it. The capital of our country, it's really polluted, it's really crowded, but it has some good features that I love about it. So let's say I love the spirit of each city because I really enjoy it.
All right. Awesome. And what does a daily routine in your life look like?
Daily routine.
Yeah.
Nice. So daily routine. I work almost every day, except the Saturday and a little bit of Sunday, but almost every day from 8 or 9 until 8 at the night. So it's almost at least 10 to 12 hour a day, but different things. Okay, I'm working on a lot of different stuff. Working the Inner Brain is something, and my new startup company. That I'm working at my new startup idea. It's not a company yet. It's something else. Then you have your own life. And you know what? I just do things and I don't really think about how to do them. I think a little bit, but I try to do it before I convince myself in my brain that I cannot do it. Do it. You know what I mean? So because there was a time that I was thinking a lot about whatever I want to do. And I had a book full of my schedule. And I mean the things that I want to do and I couldn't do them. And it was always making me depressed.
Yeah.
And then I tried to do them at any cost. So I have something that I have to do. So I will do it, whether I can do 10% of it or the 50% of it, because it's better to do things little by little. Instead of just doing one thing, just putting 2 days, 3 days doing one thing and then go to another thing, you know, because imagine that you have a task to do and you have 1 day. You will use the whole day to do that one task. And imagine you have 3 tasks and you have 1 day. You will do 3 tasks in 1 day. So it means that you can do it. But you have to put yourself in a position that you have some more tasks in a day. So if you cannot do one of them, for example, you have 10 tasks, you cannot do one of them. There's no shame for that. And I don't punish myself when I cannot do one of them. You know, that's really important because when people get up, for example, late in the morning, they punish themselves. But I don't. When I get up late, I don't punish myself because I had a long night. I had a really heavy work yesterday, for example. So today I got up a little bit late, 1 hour, 2 hours. So what? Then I start my day from 10 or whatever. Because people get depressed and that day would be totally unuseful for them.
Yeah.
And they try to get up early the other day to do that, you know. So use whatever you have. Do not think too much about, do not punish yourself when you do something wrong. You're learning from it. You're just learning. And the next day, you know, what should you do? So do not punish yourself for that.
Brilliant. This is a lot of good advice, Masi. And my last question to you would be, where do you see yourself in 10 years from now?
10 years. Interesting. What I had in my mind as my vision, I don't really care about the ideas that I'm working on, really. I do care about them, but I don't put them on the pedestal that they are about to make money for me. I don't think about them like that, that they are about to become really big or big company or big or whatever. The only thing that I have in my mind as my vision is to be in a place, if it's about to be 10 years, so let it be, or 20 years, it doesn't matter. I want to reach to a level that I can have much bigger impact on people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say that I want to put a big impact on the whole world.
Mm.
I would if I can, I would do that.
Mm.
But I just want to be in a place that I can help people to make their life better. And it doesn't matter what we're doing as our startup companies or whatever, because at the end of the day, which I'm just referring to at the end of the age, you know, at the end of your life, for example, you're 99 years old.
Mm.
At that moment, nothing matters for you, actually. Not that amount of money that you made can help you or any other network or whatever. The only thing that can help you to make you feel good when you're going to the other world or whatever, or dying, is that you could have some good impact on people around you, even small, even few. So that is my 10 years from now, and I hope I reach there.
Awesome. Yeah, hopefully we'll have you in the future, and we can discuss about what you've achieved and what you're doing then as well.
I would be happy. I would be delighted. Yeah.
All right. And what's the best way our listeners could get in touch with you?
Oh, the people, you mean?
Yeah.
They want to reach out to me, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, because I am in everywhere in the social media. I'm just establishing myself everywhere. So I have contacted me through Instagram. They have seen some of my, for example, educational work. Then they contacted me there. And then I gave them, for example, my number or my email so we could chat or we could call make a call. I had people from Instagram, Facebook, they reached out to me, and LinkedIn a lot, just like you, that you reached out to LinkedIn, and some other people as well, and also by email sometimes, but social media always works much better because I always check them, most of them. And so, yeah, that's the best thing, because they can search my name everywhere in LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, everywhere, and they can reach out to me, and I always answer people. I always, even if I cannot do what they want, I just say that I'm sorry, I cannot do that. I don't have time, or I'm not interested, or whatever. Yeah.
All right. Also, Masi, I think we had a blast having you on, and there was a lot of useful information that you shared. I hope to have you in the future as well and discuss more about what you're doing and how you're impacting people around you. Thanks again.
Yeah. Actually, I'm really, really interested to talk to you to your podcast maybe 5 years or 10 years from now, because I would be really happy to prove you that I have done what I have said 10 years ago, and that's the result. And I would be happy to do that, and I would be delighted. And thank you, really, thank you for having me in your podcast.
Awesome. Thanks, Masi. Wow, what an episode. I personally had a lot of fun interviewing Masi and also coming out inspired from what Masi had to share. If you did like this episode, please do share it with your friends and family. And coming to the most exciting news is that I've officially launched my new course, which is the Complete SketchUp and V-Ray course for interior design. If you want access to the course, you can head to arkyan.com/courses. We are currently running a special discount, which is almost around 90% off. It's going to help you learn SketchUp and V-Ray in the most practical way, where we're going to learn how to model a bedroom right from scratch, learn the various tools, and also some crazy SketchUp plugins like Clothworks, where you can learn how to model pillows, bed sheets, blankets. It's a lot of good stuff. We've had over 6,000 students, over 200 plus positive 5-star reviews. It's an absolute treat. And we're also going to release few new courses in the coming few months on SketchUp and V-Ray. And it's all going to be available on the website, which is akyan.com/courses. And if you want more details on our courses, on our episodes, and whatever Akyan is doing, do subscribe to our newsletter where we share everything in a consolidated format. It'll definitely give you an idea of what Akyan is up to. So that was a quick update. I hope you like this episode and whatever Akyan is doing. We will be releasing episodes on a weekly basis, and hopefully, like the Joe Rogan podcast or like the John Lee Dumas podcast, where those guys release episodes on a daily basis. That's our goal. We will get there one step at a time. I'll see you guys in the next episode. This is your host, Manish Paul Simon. I'm going to cut short my name to Manish Simon because my name is pretty long. So this is your host, Manish Simon, signing off. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Ak Young Podcast. We're still building the community. Please share this knowledge with someone you know who could benefit. Just send them to akyan.com, where you'll find our free newsletter. And for more podcast episodes, search for the show on any major podcasting platform. Don't forget to subscribe where you're listening right now. And if you liked it, leave a rating or review.